this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National earthquake.
Regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's one from Rogers County, Oklahoma. Two men decided to go into the woods and hunt for Bigfoot. Well, one of the men, a 21-year-old, heard a strange noise behind him. He said it was a, quote, barking noise, end quote. He turned to see a large figure, and he immediately shot it. after shooting this figure, he realized it was his friend. That's right. The Bigfoot hunter shot the other Bigfoot hunter, and fortunately, the unnamed victim is not dead. He is in the hospital, and the fellow who shot the guy was arrested and charged with reckless conduct with a firearm and obstruction. As a matter of fact, they also charged his wife because she was apparently telling the police that someone else had shot at her husband and his friend. Turns out that was a lie, so she got an obstruction charge. So I find it interesting that, A, there are two guys who are out there dumb enough to do, well, to end up in a situation like this, hunting for Bigfoot. And secondly, well, are you really supposed to just shoot Bigfoot when you see him? I mean, I know that's a debate that's been going on for a long time, but I'd say that this is another good reason you should avoid, at all costs, shooting Bigfoot. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. Miraculously, my producer and engineer tonight is the rematerialized Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Mr. Warren.
How are you doing tonight?
I've had better days, better weeks.
All right. Well, lots happened. You are married now, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's good. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You and Kelly.
Thank you.
And Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. You're back in the studio. You're feeling better, I hope, because you missed out on what happened to us when we were out in the woods for the Halloween show.
I know. I apparently, you know, I take off, I get sick, and all hell breaks loose. I get that to work at the coin shop, I start getting all these phone calls, all these people coming in saying, what the hell happened, Forrest? So
Forrest, would you like to address this?
Not at this point. You are privy to some information that a lot of people don't know, but at this point, I don't want to really talk about what's happened.
All right. Very well. I understand. I respect that.
Thank you.
And if and when the time comes when you're ready to talk about, you know, what happened, then I'm sure the audience will be more than happy to be informed.
Thank you.
It's been so weird. So weird. So much stuff has happened over the past few weeks. We've been off the air for a few weeks now. As a matter of fact, I'll say this briefly, was initiated into the Knights Templar Forest.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And for those who have no idea what that means, just watch Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. That's all I'll say. But it's fine to address me as Sir Knight, if you so choose now. Farce looks really enthusiastic about that. Yes, we. As a matter of fact, also, tonight's show is an unusual show because it is a two-hour show. Ordinarily, this show would have started an hour earlier, but there was a ball game. And so, therefore, the show tonight, being 2 hours, is pretty much going to be our first hour format and then our last hour format. So it's a usual first hour and a usual dark 30 hour. I did have a guest scheduled for hour number two tonight. He has been rescheduled for next week's show, and he's a fascinating guy, and I think you'll greatly enjoy that. And also, we have got just a slew of weird news to catch up on tonight. So this is kind of a catch-up show, and since we're starting an hour later, a lot of people may not, of course, realize the show's even on tonight, so be sure to call people and inform them if they are fans of this program. Next segment, we're going to bring Mr. Mobius in here as well, because I have a fascinating story that I want to share with you that he introduced me to regarding a real miracle. It's an uplifting story, but you know, it's not one of these like, oh, you know, gooey, fluffy miracle stories. It's one of those that kind of gives you a little tingle down your spine because something really bizarre happened, and this was captured on film, and nobody can explain what happened. It's one of those stories. It's, you know, it really does kind of give you a little chill. You know, also, and by the way, since we're doing things a little differently tonight, I can't even tell how long that our segments are running, so you have to help me out with that, Forrest. All right, we got 6 minutes. Okay, great. Because I want to tell everybody, around mid-December, I am heading out of town, and I'm going to be gone for months. I have expeditions to do and Puerto Rico, and I'm not sure exactly when I'm going to be back in Asheville. You never can tell. So, I have one final workshop that I'm going to give this year. Only 13 people will be allowed to attend this workshop, and it's called Contacting the Dead. Let me tell you what's going to happen. This is going to be Friday and Saturday, December 6th and 7th, 2013. We're going to go from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. each day at the Asheville Masonic Temple. This will be the most comprehensive and intense workshop that I have ever produced, and that's saying a lot, ever produced on contacting the dead. And I'm not exaggerating. I have, in my opinion, created a brand new revolutionary approach to paranormal research. Groundbreaking approach that has the potential to change everything regarding how we gather data and the results that we acquire. And I I don't want to talk about it now, but I'm going to discuss this for the first time at the workshop, for those who attend the workshop. So I'm going to share groundbreaking discoveries and technologies, because sometimes it seems like you're spinning your wheels in this paranormal field. Well, it's time for a vast step forward. Those who attend will participate in new experiments and learn about confidential technologies that I'm developing that brings us closer to the spiritual dimension than ever before. We're going to talk about this new data on the composition of the spiritual realm, progress in bending the dimensional boundaries for contact, updated EVP and audio capture technology, updates on the best spiritual imaging, a new modified psychomantium technique, using your mind to reach the other side, and a new paradigm of the mind-body-environment connection. So I have no doubt the right people will feel compelled to come. You know it if it feels right for you. So it costs $167 for the whole thing, for the whole weekend workshop. So if you are interested in getting one of those spaces, go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P, which you can also now reach by going to drsupernatural.com. That's drsupernatural.com.
No period after the DR.
No period after the DR. Maybe I should make one with a period after the DR, too. Just in case.
Is it Dr. DR Supernatural or D-R-C-T-O-R?
It's DR. DR, no period, supernatural. it's becoming harder and harder to explain
supernatural.
Everything that you need to... Yeah. Everything you need to know to get to these websites. So that's going to be very cool, and I'm looking forward to that. Already some of my very, very best friends and colleagues have signed up. And do you mind telling everybody you're going to be there, Shelley?
Yeah, I'm going to be there. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Contacting the dead. I'm not going to disappoint you. You're not going to show up and we're just going to rehash the same old crap that you've seen a million times. This is new stuff.
You can have handouts, because I like the handout.
I don't know if I want to put my confidential work in writing like that.
You could put it in code. I'm good with that. Mm. Or you could just have a handout for me.
Yeah, okay. We'll see. It's possible. It's possible.
Okay.
Let's see. I don't know. Do we have time for a quick news story? Okay, we're down to the last minute. Well, let's go ahead and take our first break. And then when we come back... I have an interesting news story that I want to share with you. And then we're going to get Mr. Mobius in here. And then I'm going to tell you about this sort of hair-raising miracle that happened and how this is giving us a much, much deeper understanding of how humans are evolving mentally and spiritually. I think you'll find this fascinating. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird. Keeping you company tonight. It's called Speaking of Strange. And we'll be back right after this.
from the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains, Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. And this is Speaking of Strange. Don't forget you can go to speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more info on topics discussed, and links to the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours and Ghost Hunts. Yeah, that's hauntedasheville.com. You'll also find our Facebook page, Twitter, etc. Before we talk about this miracle that happened, here's an interesting story I wanted to toss out there. You know, times are tough, and imagine how excited you would be if you found out that you were the lucky winner of a dream vacation to another country. Well, that's what happened to an elderly couple in Perth, Australia. They were contacted by an organization saying they had won an all-expenses-paid trip to Canada. Scenic Canada,
eh?
Including accommodations, new luggage, everything. But after a dream week in North America, the couple became suspicious about the bags that they'd been given to carry around, and they reported themselves to customs. That's when customs discovered $7 million worth of methamphetamine that they had been hauling around this whole time. They were unwittingly used as drug mules. How smart is that, Forrest?
Wow. I'm gonna have you watched Breaking Bad?
I have not seen that yet. I hear a lot about it, though.
Reminds me of a couple of things going on in Breaking Bad with the way they transport things.
Oh, yeah? Getting people to play along when they don't know what's happening?
Yes.
Well, you know, obviously the 64-year-old woman there says that you better be very careful if you win anything. She says, I could have ended up in jail for 25 years. Obviously would have ruined my life, so be wary, very careful.
They had to surrender their meth to the crown.
She's very, very lucky that they believed her story. But I guess they had some type of a trail there. Interesting. Yes, sometimes you know what they say, and it seems too good to be true. It sucks, but that's the way it goes. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this this miracle story that brings up some very deep, interesting questions. This was presented to me recently by Mobius, and it's a story of a woman in Pueblo, Colorado, who was trapped in an SUV during a flood. And there is just incredible video footage of this woman trapped in the SUV as it's sinking into what looks like a big muddy river. And this woman is petrified of water. She's not able to swim, and that's why that she was not getting out of the vehicle. And so you watch this SUV just disappear under the water as all these guys are rushing over trying to help her. All the windows are rolled up. I mean, it looks like she is a goner. Listen to the audio from this news story. It's about 2 minutes, 22 seconds long, I believe, something like that. Just listen to this, and then we're going to bring in Mobius and talk about the implications of this.
Initial rains led to flash flooding on Saturday, and an SUV driver tried to make her way through, but she got stuck, and as the waters rose, the driver couldn't escape. NBC's John Larson picks up the story from there.
What no one knew about 35-year-old Charlene D. Herrera as her SUV was slowly swept towards deeper water was that Charlene, just coming home from work, still in her Wendy's uniform, trapped inside, couldn't swim. Which explained why she called her brother on her cell phone, instead of just saving herself like almost everyone here, horror-struck and watching, was hoping she'd do. In sickeningly slow motion, with all four car windows shut tighter than a drum, Charlene and her car slipped into water about 10 feet deep and sank. The first to reach her was a doctor, but try as he did, that stick he had was no match for the safety glass.
I was pounding away, and she had her hands against the glass, and she was terrified.
And then Charlene was gone. Almost a full minute went by, but unbeknown to everyone was that Howard Abscess, a 43-year-old unemployed store manager, the man in the middle, had somehow reached through Charlene's front window.
For me to actually feel her grasp my arm was a real shock. And then the second time that she grasped my arm, I knew right then that I could get her out.
And then, up she came. Of course, no one knew Charlene couldn't swim, and there was a moment coming up here where she almost drowned the good doctor. But everyone eventually dragged Charlene to safety. But here's the odd part. When Charlene's car was towed from the water, all four windows were still closed. How they opened just enough to let her out and then closed again, no one knows.
There was something there. I can't explain it, but something happened for her to be able to be alive today, for me able to pull her out. Something happened for that to happen.
Something Charlene and Howard and everyone here is still wondering about. For today, John Larson, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Now, just to make sure you understand what you just heard, you know what happens when a vehicle fills up with water? The windows are not going to open and close.
Okay? Right.
The pressure equalizes. The first thing you're supposed to do when you get into the water is roll your windows down or open your door, you know, because once the water's in, that's it. This guy reaches down, and it's like he reaches through the windshield and pulls her through the windshield, and yet all the glass is completely intact in the car. Now, Mr. Mobius, are you with us, sir?
I have beamed in. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, excellent. Welcome to Speaking of Strange. You introduced this story to me, and you have some really fascinating points that you bring up about this story. Tell us your thoughts on what may have happened here.
Well, just days before this story hit, I was talking with Missy Hill on her Galactic Fusion show, and I used this most random example of human evolution. I said, at this point, if you found yourself in a flood and you were at a low point, survival would dictate that you would have to walk to high ground. But I said there will come a point in human evolution that we can simply transmutate or transverse. And if we found ourselves in such a bizarre situation, we could simply create a mental condition that would immediately take us to safety. And, you know, having mentioned that, it was very random, and we passed on to many other subjects. But I saw this story, and I was like, wow, that's exactly what I was talking about.
Well, you know, it's very difficult to look at this story and not compare it to some type of Christ-like miracle. And when you look at these sort of ascended master types throughout history, such as Christ, the message seems to be that if you believe in something enough, you can change the world. You can walk on water, you know, you can bring back the dead, etc. It almost seems like in this moment of desperation, these two people were able to sort of alter what we think of as the molecular structure of this glass, what we always believe is a rigid material, and turn it into a fluid substance long enough for this woman to come through. How do you feel about that analogy, Mobius?
Well, we have always thought like this. Newtonian physics just does not explain paranormal activity, but we've always considered ourselves to be quantum beings capable, as Christ said, of doing greater things than I have done, ye shall do. And I think it is an inherent part of human nature that as we grow spiritually, that we will be able to do these things. And something like this that seems a miracle will become an everyday occurrence.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Hang in there, Mobius. When we come back, we'll talk more about this mind-body-environment relationship and also about another, miracle involving a house fire and beer. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
words you made with plastic power. Your rhinestone eyes are like factories far away. Where the paralytic dreams that we all seem to keep drive on engines till they wink with future pixels in factories far away. So crawl the mainland from the beach. Your pod is now washed up in bleach. The waves are rising for this time of year. And nobody knows what to do with the heat. Under the sunshine pylons we'll meet while rain is falling like grindstones from the sky.
Speaking of strange, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, joined also tonight on the line by Mr. Mobius, and we were just talking last segment about an amazing story that it's easy to call a miracle. It doesn't make any sense physically how a woman was apparently pulled through the windshield of a car, even though the windshield is intact. Mobius, do you feel that... a lot of these ascended masters have been alluding to the fact that some moment will come in human evolution when humans are able to become, for lack of a better term, more telekinetic and actually shape the world we live in using the power of the mind?
Yes. I think the point will come when science and what we consider religion will become so confused that people will be able to see some of both in either. And, yeah, I think that that is automatically potential. I mean, we see this in the split experiment where consciousness affects something externally. I think from that moment forever, we've opened the door to the fact that consciousness is the secret and it's going to expand of the whole aspect of reality.
You know, you mentioned Missy Hill's program, and that brings up an excellent subject. We've seen now with the explosion of the Internet and the information age, more and more people using the forum of the Internet in order to have these discussions, in order to share these stories. And I guess I can say with great pride that I have seen over the 10 years I've been doing Speaking of Strange, many, many, many individuals who have helped us with this show actually creating their own shows and having these discussions all over the place. And it seems like that this is also part of how we are expanding that consciousness and helping this community, huh?
Yes, Java would be an excellent example. She has helped us in so many ways behind the scenes, and she now has her own radio show. Same with Will, who are in chat at this very moment. They are amazing people, and you know they have grown with us as a part of that family.
Now, one thing that I hear about over and over again is the problem that people have in the Internet age of trying to afford to have these shows, because everybody expects to listen to shows and watch things for free now. And we've been very fortunate because we have had great products like the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator or the Radionics boxes, etc., that people buy because they listen to the show, they go to the website, we sell these things. And you were telling me that a lot of these folks who have shows would like to also be able to maintain the ability to pay their bills and stay on the air by selling products, and we've talked about creating a reseller program. Would you like to talk about that?
Okay, I will pick this up. For years, we have looked at the options of doing reselling of tangible products. The websites that have subscriptions or something, that's already taken care of. But till now, the whole process, because we have so many websites of doing reseller items as tangible goods, has been very complicated. And we've had so many of the people who are extended family here asking, you know, when can we share this? And I'm happy to say now I feel I found a solution, and I'm going to test the basic 120 Sunshine Simple, but ultimately keep adding everything so that our family can become resellers, feature these items on their show, and start to get some revenue back so that their efforts become more rewarding. And so finally, to all the people asking, we have been listening, and finally we can say, yes, we're ready to reach out to you and help you.
All right. Well, what that means is anybody who's listening to the show, if you would like to be able to afford to keep your show running, if you want to be a part of our sort of revenue affiliate program, go to speakingofstrange.com, send me and Mobius an email, and I guarantee you we'll pay you at least $50 on each sale just starting out, and then it will go up from there, depending on the amount of business you bring in. Because I want to see these shows stay on the air. And there are some very significant programs recently that have gone off the air. I won't name any names. But because of problems with the model right now. And so this is a new model and a new way that we want to help everybody out. And obviously it's the time of year when we are selling tons of the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator for the home. So that seems like a natural product to start with. So again, go to speakingofstrange.com and email me and Mobius, and we'll get you hooked up so you can start making some money and hopefully keep your programs on the air. Does that sound good to you, Mobius?
Sounds fantastic.
Okay, well, let's make that happen. Here's a story that I read which reminded me of the story that I often talk about here in Asheville. This is sort of related to Helen's Bridge in my mind because near Helen's Bridge, there is a castle called Zealandia, and one of the owners, Sir Philip S. Henry, was married to a woman named Violet in the early 1900s. And before he moved to Asheville, he and Violet went to New York, and they stayed in a big fancy hotel called the Windsor. And that night, the hotel caught on fire, and they were staying on one of the upper floors, and so they were very fortunate that they were able to make their way down the stairs and get out of the building. And once they got outside, Violet said, "Oh, my pearls!" And she ran back into the hotel and burned to death. So that it's one of those morality tales. So that was the first story that came to mind when I read this story from Columbus, Georgia. It's like, this just had to be in the South. A guy's house caught on fire, and they say that they think his new water heater started the fire. So the guy and five other adults and two children, they all escaped out of the house safely, but once they got outside, the guy says, "My beers!" Seriously. It wasn't pearls. It was my beer.
My beer.
Because apparently he had a nice selection of extremely high-quality imported beers. And so he decided this was worth the risk. So he, quote, he says, "I went back into the house like a dummy, and the door shut on me because this backdraft was about to kill me," end quote. Fortunately, he escaped one more time without injury, and sure enough, he did have a couple of beers in tow. And so a miraculous rescue of the beer, and right after I read this, then I read this story from Fort Worth, Texas, about beer churches bubbling up across the United States. right now in Fort Worth, they're calling this the church in a pub. They gather and toast craft beer during their Sunday services. They claim these services are meant to offer, quote, salvation and everlasting life with really good beer, end quote. It attracts about 30 to 40 people weekly. They're looking to expand. They have meetings called What Would Jesus Brew? we got to found the first one in Asheville before anybody else does this, Forrest. You know?
If I can get my mic working, we definitely need to.
This would be gigantic in
Spear
Asheville.
City. Yeah. Spear City.
I should have just kept that story to myself a little longer until we could announce the first meeting. I'll deliver a sermon, and we all drink. We'll just talk about the woman who got pulled out of the SUV. It'll be just fine.
It's good to know. Americans have their priorities straight.
Yes. And when we come back, I'll tell you about another story regarding, once again, a religion and something that is usually frowned upon. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Final minutes of hour number one on tonight's special two-hour edition of Speaking of Strange. That means next hour will be the Dark 30 hour, when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news, not for the kiddies and not for the easily offended. So you can decide for yourself if that's something for which you'd like to stick around. There's a lot going on, a lot to discuss, especially since we haven't had a new show in a little while here. We've all been way too busy and, well, preoccupied. I have Mr. Mobius on the line right now. And, of course, we also have producer Hardwood Forrest Connor and Shelley Wright. Mobius, you still with us there, buddy?
I'm here.
All right, excellent. Well, you know, before the break, we were talking about the connection between the beer culture and churches down in Texas, which is where I'm going to be first off. I'm making the rounds, but my next stop in December is going to be Texas. My in-laws live down there, and so we'll be doing the holidays in Texas. So maybe I'll have to check out the brew church. But here is a story. Let's see. I believe this is from the UK. A guy is in the middle of a controversy there because he apparently has been caught with a large amount of cannabis, which, of course, one might also think of as marijuana. And he told the court that he didn't have all this for selling, that this was actually a sacrifice for his Hindu gods.
Marijuana is bad, okay?
He said he just burns it in a pit as part of a spiritual healing ritual, especially to the Hindu god Shiva. The defendant told the jury, quote, "You may notice as you go through the diaries, the growth narratives are interspersed with what appears to be references to Hindu deity Shiva. It is my religious right to grow this and sacrifice it to my God," he told the court. The prosecutor said that at today's market, the amount he was caught with would be worth about 24,000 pounds or up to 40,000 pounds. So what are we talking about, $60,000 maybe, Forrest?
60 plus thousand.
That's a lot.
Maybe 80. Yeah, pounds are high now. Wow.
Really? Wow, yeah. So, you know, they're getting into this this debate about what your religious rights are, but I'm pretty sure that that's maybe even more than God Shiva could handle.
Yeah.
Shiva would be really messed up after that. And in Ontario, a former Hershey chocolate factory is on track to be repurposed into a weed manufacturing plant. They say this is going to be hopefully some type of a hydroponic hub where weed flows like wine. When the Hershey factory came to the area called Smith Falls in 1963, it brought jobs, tourists, and money, but when they shut it down, this was a big blow to the community because they actually called it the Willy Wonka Wonderland of Eastern Ontario. Now the smell of melted chocolate will be replaced by Primo marijuana.
Ironically, you know, when they open the weed factory up, there's going to be a need for a chocolate factory now, too.
That's true.
See, the Oompa-Loompas are going to love it.
That's how the economy grows right there.
Right.
You bring in Oompa Loompas and chocolate and marijuana. Okay. Here's another edible story. This is from the UK.
Lots of UK stories this evening.
Yeah. It's contagious. Whatever's happening here is across the pond. They say that a shortage of baked beans could soon be a problem in the West Midlands, because thousands of cans of baked beans were stolen from a truck. Members of the public have been warned to look out for anyone trying to sell large quantities of Heinz baked beans in suspicious circumstances. A total of 6,400 tins of beans with sausages were taken. Thieves cut a large hole in the side of a parked truck there. Now, you tell me, is it coincidence that I find this story, and then I see this one about a brand new British line of underwear called fart filtering underwear?
Well, I just want to know about the British story you had before about the guy with all the weed before and the baked beans being gone.
See, it's all connected. This is what Missy Hill would say. It's a pop culture conspiracy. The guy gets a ton of weed to smoke to his Hindu god. Then he gets super hungry. He robs all the baked beans, hence the fart filtering underwear.
Yes.
It says here, Americans are making majority of the sales at the moment. They're calling these shreddies, odor neutralizing shreddies. It says recently they've had a 400% increase in orders. It has a carbon cloth called Zorflex sewn into its rear panel, and it can squash the smell of 200 times the average flatulence emission. Who tests that out?
So it might just work for you.
Yeah, we might be able to squash one or two. They should just sell those with the beans. You know, that maybe we should add that to the reseller program, I guess.
I'm on it.
A can of baked beans and some fart filtering underwear, and it's Christmas time, perfect stocking stuffer.
We might even have a decorative kit at Wright's Coin Shop from time to time. Okay, folks, I believe that's going to do it for this first hour. When we come back, it will be hour number two, the Dark 30 hour, when we dig into the more outrageous and controversial material. Hopefully you'll stick around for that. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.